Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Johnson. Hope you guys are having a great week so far. We are here for another edition of AEW Dynamite. We're looking forward to this show. I think it's going to be a great show. Quick rundown of some things going on tonight. We have the Le Champion, Chris Jericho, returning to commentary. I'm kind of surprised to see this. I know they've been back to full strength with JR, Excalibur, and Tony Schiavone. So I guess for whatever reason, we're getting Jericho for one night tonight back on commentary. So I'm pretty stoked about that. We have a big six-man tag match pitting the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, taking on the team of Jake Hager and Santana and Ortiz from the Inner Circle. These guys have been feuding for a little while now. And I think we are heading towards a big Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho match down the road. And this is kind of the start of it. So I'm looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a really fun six-man tag. And one-on-one action also from the Inner Circle, we have Sammy Guevara taking on Colt Cabana. In women's action, we have Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander taking on Nyla Rose and Penelope Ford. And we also, and then probably in our main event, we get the debut of FTR taking on the Butcher and the Blade. I say the main event, it might not be actually that match might actually open the show. I think that'd be a good one to open it. And then also we get a TNT title match pitting the champion Cody Rhodes taking on Mark Quinn from Private Party. And that's a very, very interesting matchup because we haven't seen Mark Quinn in singles action, I don't think. And he's very, very exciting as a tag team competitor. So I'm curious to see how he'll be on his own going solo against the TNT champion Cody Rhodes. So big night of action tonight, guys. There's some really great matchups. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a really fun show to talk about. All right, guys, before we get started, though, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, wherever you guys listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe. For you guys on Apple Podcast, make sure to leave a 5-star review. Let us know what you think of all the shows, everything that everybody puts out on this feed. It's all good stuff, man. We really enjoy doing it and putting it out there for you guys, and we really appreciate all you guys listening. All right, guys, without any further ado, let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So AEW Dynamite starts off this week with our big tag team match pitting the Butcher and the Blade taking on the debuting FTR, formerly the Revival, from the WWE. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder are now known as Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler. So I'm trying to get their names down. You guys have heard me the last couple of weeks trying to get it down, but I think I got it. I think I'll be able to get through it from here on out. A little bit different with a quick name change, but I'm pretty sure I got it at this point. This was a really fun match. I enjoyed this. I thought both teams looked really good. I did think going into this, it was going to be more of a showcase for FTR. They get a pretty easy win, but that's kind of not how it went. I thought Butcher and the Blade both had a really good showing. We haven't seen them in action a whole lot lately. And I thought they did a good job of coming back here tonight and putting on a great show. FTR was very, very impressive in this match. You can tell that they're definitely going to fit in very, very well in AEW. They were very fluid with their tag team moves, and you could tell they looked more comfortable. And we saw a few things out of them that we didn't see at a WWE. We saw like a superplex into an elbow drop. We don't ever see them fly very often. Their old moniker was all fists, no flips. And, we saw a top rope move from Cash Wheeler. So it was kind of cool. Kind of a different side of FTR we saw, but definitely a lot of ground-based wrestling. And, just a great tag team match between two good teams. Very hard-hitting. Of course, FTR ended up getting the victory after hitting their former move, formerly known as the Shatter Machine, Oh, I just had the name of it too, and I forgot. Okay, but anyways, I'll get this down, guys. I promise. I'll get everything situated with FTR probably come next week. But they did hit their finisher, and then they hit it on the Butcher. Then they hit the Spike Piledriver on the Blade to get the victory. So big win for FTR. Great debut. I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was a really good showing for both teams. A couple newsworthy things I noticed in this is they showed Arn and Tully in the crowd quite a bit during this, taking notes, watching this match. Before the match started, Cash Wheeler threw up the Four Horsemen sign real quick. So I think they're planting some seeds. I really do. We've been talking about how I see a form of the Four Horsemen coming sometime over the next couple of months, and I think this was a big sign, and they're not being very coy about it. So I think it's going to involve Sean Spears, and it's going to involve FTR. Don't know who the fourth member is going to be. The first name off the top of my head is Cody, just because Arn is involved, so I could see Cody being that fourth guy, kind of, I guess, in a way, being that Ric Flair type, where, you know, got the blonde hair and kind of the leader, locker room leader in a way. Then you got your big tag team with FTR, and you know, you have your kind of muscle in a way in Sean Spears. So I think it's good. I think it would definitely work. So we'll see if that's where they're heading, but they're definitely planting the seeds for it. That we could see a Four Horsemen type of stable coming to AEW. After the match, Tony Schiavone got in the ring and was interviewing FTR, and they're talking about how they're happy to be there, and, you know, big babyface promo and stuff. And in the background, you see the Young Bucks walk out. This is a moment that a lot of people have been waiting for, kind of this first face-to-face type of interaction between these two teams. And Matt Jackson grabs a mic and says that they never properly introduced themselves. And Matt said, "He's Matt. This is my brother Nick. We're the Young Bucks. We're the team that's been carrying tag team wrestling for the last 10 years." And it was a really, really fired up promo by Matt Jackson. I like the sight of him a lot. And I know that they're going to be building this up for a while. I don't see this match happening anytime soon. I hope it doesn't, because this is a match that a lot of fans have been waiting a long time for. I know it's a match that the Young Bucks and probably FTR also have been waiting a long time for. So I hope they don't rush this. I hope this is a match that they push at least to All Out in September. I think it's September, August, September, somewhere like that. I hope they push it to there, because, you know, it needs to be one of the marquee matchups on that card. But before FTR could respond to what Matt was saying, the Butcher gets back in the ring and attacks the Young Bucks. FTR holds them off, and then out comes Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. They attack FTR from behind. This brings out the tag team champions Kenny Omega and Hangman Page to kind of even the odds. So kind of became a little cluster there at the end with all the big tag teams coming out. The babyfaces cleared the ring, and there was a moment afterwards where we saw FTR, the Young Bucks, and Omega and Page all stand in the ring, kind of like looking at each other, thinking, okay, who's going to make the first move? Who's going to do something? But, you know, cooler heads kind of prevailed. Nothing happened, but definitely a tease though. And I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be something we're going to talk about most weeks, is that just how stacked this tag team division is. And, you know, that this is something that AEW does so well. And bringing in FTR is just going to make them even better. You know, there's just so many tag teams that can legitimately be the tag team champions, and they're believable. So I love it. I love what they're doing with this. The tag division is going to be on fire. There's so many great matchups. I can't wait for Pentagon to get back so we get the Lucha Bros back in full force again. It's going to be awesome, guys. The tag team division is going to be so good, and it's definitely going to be the highlight of AEW for a long time coming. Up next, we get an interview backstage with the Nightmare family, consisting of Dustin Rhodes, Brandi Rhodes, QT Marshall, and Allie, who all of a sudden is QT Marshall's girlfriend. Okay. Cool. That's been a big question online over the last few weeks, is exactly what Allie's part is in this. But we find out in this interview that QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes will be challenging Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page for the tag team titles next week on Dynamite. So again, kind of like we saw with Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian, they're getting the title shots before the actual number one contenders, the Best Friends, are getting theirs. So it's cool. Like, I get it. I see what they're doing. That the Best Friends are going to get the title shot no matter what at Fyter Fest. You know, they get the opportunity on the bigger show. So I see what they're doing. It's cool. I know some people have been kind of iffy about it, saying, well, if they're the number one contenders, they should get the next shot. I understand that too. You know, it's old school wrestling thinking. I totally get it. But as long as they're still getting their shots and they're making it known that the Best Friends are still the number one contenders, I'm perfectly cool with it. I have no issues with it at all. So that'll be a fun match. You know, it's three members of the Elite, because Dustin, in my opinion, is considered part of the Elite. QT, in a way, I guess. It's the Nightmare Family. The Nightmare Family taking on Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. So that should be a really fun match. I think Allie is going to play a part in it, because there are some issues going on between Brandy and Allie. Brandy doesn't trust Allie. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot of moving parts in that match next week. But it should be a really good title match. I'm looking forward to it. Back in the arena, it's time for our tag team women's matches. We have Penelope Ford and Nyla Rose taking on the team of Chris Statlander and the AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida. This is a really good women's tag team match. You know, I know a lot of people have said, talk about how the women's division's kind of up and down at times. But this was a really shining moment. I thought this was one of the better tag team matches I've seen in a while, especially in the women's division. It was very hard hitting. I thought all four women looked really good. They all hit their spots well, and I was definitely impressed with Penelope Ford. Ford has been a little up and down at times. You know, she has had a couple of missed spots here and there, but this is one of her better matches. I really loved everything she did in this match, and it was a big match for her because she actually got the pinfall victory on the AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida. The match kind of broke down, and Nyla Rose threw the women's title in the ring to Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford hits Hikaru Shida with the ref's back turn and hits a perfect plex for the three count and gets the victory. So huge win for Penelope Ford. I know Nyla Rose is the number one contender, but Penelope Ford's moving up the ranks quickly. This was her first week in the top five because they released the rankings every Wednesday. Penelope Ford did crack the top five. So big win for her. She's going to be moving up even more. And but yeah, I thought this was a good match. I really did enjoy this a lot. Hikaru Shida is on fire. She's became a huge star. She just oozes with charisma. Every time I see her, just I look at her and go back, like, man, they've just really done a great job of pushing her and really making her into a big deal. And then, you know, her getting the big win at Double or Nothing for the championship. It's definitely the right move. She's been one of the brighter spots in all of AEW, not just the women's division. You know, she's gotten great responses from people online, from the other wrestlers in the crowd. And I know when the fans come back, they're really going to take to her. She's going to get huge reactions. She's one of the ones I'm really sure about. There's a couple people in the company I'm like, I don't know. You know, I can see them getting a different reaction than what we're originally thinking. But in my opinion, Hikaru Shida is going to get that big reaction. She's going to be the big star. And I'm really excited to see what her future holds. I think she has a long reign ahead of her. I think she'll beat Nyla Rose again, because I really feel like they are 100% behind Hikaru Shida as their champion. So I love it. I love what they're doing. The women's division looks really good right now. And I was afraid that it was going to take a step back because of the Britt Baker injury. But the other women have stepped up, and they've shown that, you know, that they can fill that void, especially Penelope Ford, because she was kind of sitting, you know, middle of the road for a while. And she's been the one that's really benefited from this Britt Baker injury the most. You know, Shida was already kind of getting pushed. She was already getting, you know, victories and stuff. But Penelope Ford's the one that's really stepped up in Britt Baker's absence. So kudos to her, and kudos to all the women in the match. I thought this was very, very well done. Speaking of Britt Baker, afterwards we got a video package highlighting her recovery. It was kind of similar to the one from last week, and she just was talking about how, you know, she's a role model just because she's there, you know, for no other reason, just because she's her. A good, you know, good quick heel promo here. I thought there was one really funny spot that I liked where she's in her wheelchair and she's dragging probably a 5-pound weight, maybe not even that, 2.5-pound weight behind her, and it's just dragging behind her chair, and she's struggling to use her wheelchair, and she gets stuck. So her assistant comes behind her, picks up the weight, and Britt starts taking off again as her assistant's holding the weight. So it was funny. It was a really funny spot. But I like that they're keeping Britt Baker relevant. They're not letting her just sit back and do nothing for the next 8 weeks. Well, I guess 6 to 5 weeks now. She's already a pretty good, decent ways to coming back. So I like that they're keeping her, giving her TV time. You know, we heard the big promo last week with the bulletin board and blaming Aubrey Edwards for all of her misfortunes. And, you know, this week, the video package. So they're doing a really good job of keeping Britt, you know, relevant big time, because she's the face of the women's division. And, you know, as much as I talked about Hikaru Shida and how she's done so many good things and she's really moved up a lot, it's still Britt Baker's division, in my opinion. She's the one that's the most recognizable in the division. You know, there's others that are starting to get there, but it's definitely Britt. So it's very, very smart of AEW to keep her on television, let her keep talking, especially in this heel role, because she's still pretty new at it, but she's gone, you know, she's gained so much traction and jumped leaps and bounds from when she first started this heel role that she's a big deal. She's a star, and she definitely shows it when she's on screen. So real fun backstage, or real fun video package here for her. And, you know, can't wait to see her back in action. Hopefully she's back very, very soon. Next up, we got a 6-man tag team match pitting the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy taking on Inner Circle member Santana and Ortiz and Jake Hager. This is a match I was personally looking forward to going into this show, being a huge Best Friends fan. And, you know, I'm Orange Cassidy. Is Orange Cassidy. He's taken the entire wrestling world by storm. And, you know, the Inner Circle's been doing some really good stuff for a long time now. Santana and Ortiz, I think, are an amazing tag team. And Jake Hager has really done a good job of reinventing himself. Kind of, in my opinion, getting away from the whole Jack Swagger thing. And he's done, you know, he's really done a good job of turning himself around and becoming a prominent player in AEW and in the Inner Circle. And this is a really fun back and forth match. Before the match happened, Orange Cassidy got attacked by Santana and kind of laid him out on the stage, which we've seen Orange Cassidy get laid out on the stage a few times. And he got laid out again to start this match. Inner Circle was a control for a lot of it. Then the Best Friends made a comeback. Orange Cassidy ends up getting the hot tag. I guess you'd call it a hot tag. He got the tag, so slowly got in the ring. And just after about 20 seconds, just a fire got lit under him. And he took off and he was flying around on guys, hitting dives to the outside, doing everything, just what an amazing sequence that Orange Cassidy had here. And it was even so good that Chris Jericho on commentary was giving him some props, saying that when he gets going, he's pretty amazing. And, you know, for Jericho to say that with him going against his Inner Circle buddies, that really says a lot. But at the end of the match, Ortiz had gone to the top rope to jump off, and he got shoved off by Trent into Jake Hager, who was on the outside. So it took out Santana and Hager. That left Orange Cassidy and Ortiz in the ring, and Cassidy hit this modified roll-up that pretty much trapped the arms of Ortiz where he couldn't move, and he got the 3 count. So big win for Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends over the Inner Circle. But as soon as the match was over, Hager and Santana get back in the ring and they attack the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. Jericho gets up from commentary and runs to the ring, and Jericho just starts unloading on the guys with his baseball bat, and eventually ends up hitting Orange Cassidy in the head with it. You know, not like a chair shot type way, but you know, in a pro wrestling type way, you know, hit him with it. It busted Orange Cassidy open. He was bleeding from the ear, and then Jericho goes under the ring and gets this huge like laundry bag. It looked like full of oranges, and they add some more oranges to it. And he ends up hitting Orange Cassidy in the head with this bag of oranges, and they were sent on commentary that they were blood oranges, and they probably weighed about 20 pounds or so. It was big. It was a lot of oranges, so it definitely had to hurt. And he ended up hitting Orange Cassidy about 3 times with these oranges, and then dumped all of them on him. And afterwards, Jericho got on the mic and said that Orange Cassidy had been juiced. And then they dumped all the oranges, you know, started squeezing them on top of them, all the juice on top of them. Just a really, really good segment all around. You know, it made the Inner Circle look really tough. You know, they've stood tall a lot, but it's not in that, you know, we're tired of seeing them win kind of way. It's in that they're a heel group and they're dangerous, and we can't wait to see them get beat by the good guys kind of way. You know, the way a heel group is supposed to be thought of. And this gets so much sympathy on the Best Friends and on Orange Cassidy, because I mean, they're loved. You know, people love these guys, especially Orange Cassidy. And I mentioned earlier that I really feel like they're moving towards an Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho match. And I think that's coming. And it wouldn't surprise me if Orange Cassidy wins that match, because it's going to do so much for him. And we saw with the matches, you know, with Darby Allin and Jungle Boy going against Jericho did for their careers, really got them going. And I think Orange Cassidy, in my opinion, is over more than both of them. Darby Allin's pretty close. Jungle Boy's is getting there. But I think Orange Cassidy is one of the most over wrestlers in the entire company. So to give him that Jericho rub is going to do wonders for him. And I could actually see him winning that match against Jericho, and that would be massive, massive for him to do that. So I figured that they haven't announced it for Fighter Fest yet. That could be coming. I wish they would make it, you know, wait for All Out to do this match, but I think they want to get some momentum behind Orange Cassidy sooner than later. So yeah, very, very good segment. Great match in all six guys. But the aftermath is kind of what the talking point is going to be, with the Inner Circle looking dominant, looking strong, standing over a fallen Orange Cassidy and Best Friends in the ring. And it just gets so much sympathy on the baby faces. It was a perfect segment. Completely well done. Chris Jericho at his best again. And, you know, it's going to be a big deal when Orange Cassidy finally gets his hands on Chris Jericho. I wish it could be in front of a crowd. I wish so much it would, because the crowd would go absolutely nuts when Orange Cassidy finally gets his hands on him. But it's being built right. It's got kind of a slow build to it. I think it's still going to be a bit before he does get that opportunity to get his hands on Jericho. So, yeah, the ride's going to be fun, guys. I'm really looking forward to it. Next up, we get a singles match pitting the Spanish God Sammy Guevara taking on Colt Boom Boom Cabana. And the announcers were hyping up that this is a match that both of these guys need, and they need to get a victory in because they're both coming off of losses. Cabana's had a really interesting storyline going lately, that he's been kind of targeted by the Dark Order a little bit, where they've been showing up and kind of offering their services to him. And he's been declining, but it's became a little more reluctant each time. So, you know, wherever this match heads is probably going to help us out figuring out what's going to be going on with him going forward. And this was a really fun match. It didn't last real long. And Cabana ended up going for the Chicago Skyline in the corner, and he slips off the rope, and that gives Sammy the advantage to pick him up for his finisher, the GTH, I think is what it was called. I'm not sure exactly what GTH stands for. I'll have to try to figure that out. But it's a reverse GTS pretty much, which there's a little bit of symbolism there if you know who Cabana's former best friend is. But with that being said, Sammy Guevara does get the win. This is another loss for Colt Cabana. And after the match, Sammy jumps out of the ring and Cabana's kind of sitting in the corner, and all of a sudden the music of the Dark Order hits, and for the first time we see the Dark Order at full capacity. We see every member. We see Stu Grayson and Evil Uno make their return. We see Tim, Five, we see everybody. Every member of the Dark Order is out there, including the Exalted One, Brody Lee. Brody Lee comes out, walks over to Colt Cabana, helps him to his feet, and then they leave. And it was very interesting, and I loved it because not a whole lot happened, but it was enough to get everybody's mind kind of thinking, what's going on? Like what is Colt Cabana going to do this? Well, as you guys know, the way that the Dynamite set works is that there's tunnels on both sides. Well, the Dark Order goes through the left tunnel. Cabana walks up to the stage and is kind of sitting there looking at each tunnel, trying to decide which way he wants to go. And he actually goes towards the left tunnel following the Dark Order. So kind of, you know, a little symbolism here that maybe Colt Cabana is going to take them up on their offer, and Colt Cabana might actually join the Dark Order. So pretty cool segment overall. I really kind of dig the idea of Colt Cabana being in the Dark Order. It's different because, you know, he's this comedy actor, comedy wrestler. He's a veteran. He's been around for many, many years. And if he joins the Dark Order, then we're going to kind of see this other side of him. So I wouldn't mind this at all. I think this would be kind of cool. It'd be interesting to see how they do this and how he would be with this more serious role. But it was cool. It was really a cool segment. Afterwards, Sammy Guevara gets back in the ring, gets on a microphone, and starts talking about how he's, you know, he's the best wrestler in AEW. They need to hit his music. And all of a sudden, Matt Hardy comes out. And Hardy is in kind of classic Matt Hardy type of style. Got the tank top on. You know, the hair looks normal. And he's talking, telling Sammy, hey, you know, I respect you. And I've noticed that you every time you get knocked down, you keep getting back up. And he told Sammy, he said, you are the future of AEW. You have so much talent. You're becoming a big star. But for you to ever get completely over that hump, you have got to get away from Chris Jericho. And Sammy kind of thought for a sec, kind of shook his head and told Matt he was crazy, that this, you know, Matt Hardy was saying over and over, you got to trust me. And Sammy said, I can't trust you. I won't trust a word you say. You tried to kill me twice. Talking about how Matt and Kenny Omega tried to run him over. And Matt all of a sudden like puts his head down and starts shaking, like, shaking his head. Then he pops up and he's broken Matt Hardy. And then he just kind of starts verbally unloading on Sammy Guevara, saying that he's gonna break him down and he's gonna beat him down. And it kind of scared Guevara out of the ring, and Guevara took off and ran. So it looks like they're going forward with a feud between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. And then, you know, kind of like what we talked about with Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, these, you know, veterans, these older talent that can still go, they're getting in there with the younger guys and giving them a big push and, you know, adding a lot of relevancy to them. And this is going to be the exact same thing, because Matt Hardy is established. He's a legend. People have known this guy forever. And, you know, he's going to be having this match with Sammy Guevara whenever they do have it. And I would expect Guevara to win this match. And all it's going to do is boost him up. You know, Guevara has been one of the fastest rising stars in all of AEW. You know, he was a relative unknown coming into when AEW started. But between his big matches and joining the Inner Circle and, you know, his charisma really starting to come out every single week, even more and more, he's becoming a huge star. And he just needs a couple of things here and there to really, like, really boost him up to get him to that next level. And I think a feud with Matt Hardy, somebody the equivalent of Matt Hardy, is going to really help him out a lot. So I really dig this feud, and I love what they're going with it. And they also planted that seed too, where, you know, what if in the end Sammy Guevara does end up seeing what Matt Hardy's talking about, and then Guevara could get away from the Inner Circle? And I think there's a big babyface run for him in the long run, because he does have a big following and people like Sammy Guevara a lot. He's just, you know, he's a cocky heel and he's in the Inner Circle, so, you know, people boo him. But I think he has a huge, huge babyface side run coming sooner than later, especially if and when the Inner Circle turns on him, because I feel like he'll be the one that the Inner Circle turns on. I don't want to make big comparisons, but very similar to when Evolution turned on Randy Orton. I don't think Guevara will be the champion when it happens like Orton was, but Orton was that young star that, you know, the veterans got jealous of and turned on him. And I could see that happening, them doing something very similar with Sammy Guevara. When that does happen, I think Sammy's going to be a massive, massive babyface. So that's still a ways to go. And we have to start off with this feud between Sammy and Matt Hardy. I think it's going to be really good. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially with as crazy as Matt Hardy is and the way he and Sammy kind of play off each other. It's gonna be a really fun feud. I'm looking forward to it. So up next, we go back to the parking lot where Alex Marvez is waiting on the AEW World Champion John Moxley. Moxley comes walking up and cuts a pretty intense promo on Brian Cage and Taz, which, you know, as you guys know, Brian Cage will be challenging John Moxley for the world title at Fyter Fest. And Moxley pretty much said that, you know, Taz runs his mouth throughout the week on social media hyping Brian Cage up about how he's going to defeat John Moxley, take his title from him. And Moxley has pretty much said that he's unstable and he's a pretty miserable person, and that Cage and Taz aren't making it any better for themselves by pushing his buttons. So he started talking trash about Taz, but then Taz showed up and Taz kind of pushed Marvez out of the way and got in Moxley's face. And as he and Moxley were jawing at each other, Brian Cage runs up from behind Moxley and attacks him. He beats him down, throws him into the side of a car, and Moxley tries to fight back. Moxley takes a swing at him, what looked like a tire iron, and he misses and hits and breaks the window. And that's when Cage takes over and actually hits a spine buster on Moxley on the hood of the car. And as he picks him up, he's about to powerbomb him on the concrete. Taz tells him no, so Cage kind of steps away, but then he grabs Moxley again and throws him through the back windshield of the same car. So a good beat down here by Brian Cage. Moxley's an interesting character because, you know, he is a babyface, but he's that no nonsense Steve Austin kind of babyface. So it can be kind of tough to get sympathy on him at times, but I thought they did a good job of it here because, I mean, Moxley he's very relatable and the fans really dig him. And Brian Cage is this huge muscular guy and just outpowered Moxley and just really took it to him. So this was good. This was very well done. I like that it actually gets a little bit of sympathy on Moxley, because like I said, it's not easy to do. And, you know, Taz, it just adds a different element to this. I love him in this manager role for Brian Cage. I think it's perfect. And, you know, I it's a really interesting match. You know, I do expect Moxley to retain the title against Brian Cage, but, you know, we've been saying it since Double or Nothing. You know, if they're going to push Cage this quickly, give him the title shot, you know, maybe they'll pulled the big swerve and let Brian Cage actually win the title. But Fighter Fest is still a couple of weeks away, so we still have a little bit of time to figure that out and to get to there. But you know, this is a cool segment. You don't see parking lot beatdowns very often anymore, so this was well done. I really like this a lot. All right, guys, it is main event time. So for our main event, we have the TNT Championship pinning the champion Cody taking on Mark Quinn of Private Party. And I saw a lot of people talking about this match on Twitter leading up to it, and they were wondering, you know, why Mark Quinn? Why, you know, he's half of a tag team that's ranked like number 3 or 4 or something like that in the tag team. Like, why, of all the people, why would he get an opportunity? And Mark Quinn showed it in this match. I was so impressed with him. You know, this is his first singles match ever in AEW. And I had my questions, like, how would he carry himself? You know, would he be able to hang in there with a Cody Rhodes who's a veteran, who's been around for a long time, who's been a singles competitor most of his career? And I was curious, and I kind of had my doubts about it a little bit, but Mark Quinn proved me wrong. He was absolutely incredible in this match. And you know, we know what he can do offensively. We've seen what he and Isaiah Cassidy do as Private Party. Their tag team is just flawless. You know, everything they do is so smooth. But what really stuck out to me in this match was the selling ability of Mark Quinn. Mark Quinn sold his ankle this entire match, and Cody did a great job of targeting it. For those of you that forgot, 2 weeks ago, Mark Quinn had an injury to his ankle, and you know they were playing it off again this week that, you know, it's not 100%. And Cody targeted the ankle, and every single time Mark Quinn tried a high risk move, he would land and favor his ankle, and just he sold it perfectly throughout this entire match. And for a guy as young as him, who's only been wrestling for only a handful of years, this is some of the best selling I've seen in a long time. You know, there's great sellers in wrestling, but it is a known fact that selling is kind of a lost art. It's something that not a lot of people do. And as much as I love AEW, especially in this company, you know, there's not a lot of selling at times in this company. So to see Mark Quinn sell the way he did and to really, you know, tell a story with his ankle, it was great. It was such a breath of fresh air. And I was so, so impressed with him. And there was a couple moments where he looked like he could win this match, and he was believable that he could. I didn't think there was a chance Cody could lose this match going into it. And, you know, by the time it was all said and done, Cody did get the victory. But Mark Quinn had an amazing showing. This really, you know, he gained my respect a lot in this match. I was so impressed. Cody ended up, okay, well, the last sequence of the match is that Mark Quinn went for a shooting star press. Cody moved, and as soon as Quinn landed, Cody grabbed his ankle, put in an ankle lock, and then grapevined it, and then pretty much wrapped his legs in like a figure four type around Mark Quinn's leg, and then used his feet to push his ankle down. It's kind of hard to explain, but it looked very, very painful. Mark Quinn did a great job of selling it. He held it there for about 10 or 15 seconds, but just couldn't hold on anymore, and then he tapped out. So Cody is still your TNT champion. And a very, very fun match. Very great, very fun main event. After the match was over, though, Jake Hager comes out, and Hager gets in the ring with Cody and Arn, and he turns and grabs Arn by the throat, and that pretty much starts, you know, that sets Cody off. Cody attacks Hager. Private Party come back out with Matt Hardy. They attack Hager with a chair. Out comes the Inner Circle, and we get a big melee to end the show with the four men on each side. Chris Jericho was not out there, but it was Hager, Sammy Guevara, and Santana Ortiz for the Inner Circle, and Cody, Matt Hardy, and Private Party on the other side. And the good guys cleared the ring, and we're standing tall to end the show. Cody did get on the microphone. He told Hager, he said, I know what you want, and it's loud and clear. If you want a TNT title shot at Fighter Fest, you got it. So Cody versus Jake Hager for the TNT title at a Fighter Fest is official, and that's going to be a big match. That is huge. You know, we've seen Cody face Jungle Boy. We've seen him face Mark Quinn, and nothing against those guys, but, you know, the real first major test for Cody is going to be Jake Hager. They did say Cody is going to defend the title also next week, but they didn't say who his opponent was, so I guess they're going to leave that as a mystery opponent leading up to the match. But yeah, they did a good job with this TNT title. I know a couple people are going to be upset about this, thinking, oh, Cody keeps standing tall to end Dynamite. You know, this is what's going to be going forward. He defends the title, you know, Cody's music to end Dynamite. It's fine. I don't see a problem with it. You know, Cody's such a huge baby face. You know, people love seeing him compete. And then now, you know, he's got a storyline going forward with Jake Hager. So I don't think the TNT title will main event next week. I'll be surprised considering they didn't announce an opponent for Cody. I think it'll be earlier in the show that we'll get it. We'll have something else for the main event. But this was a good match. And like I said, Mark Quinn definitely came out of this match as a shining star, in my opinion. He looked absolutely incredible. So, you know, kudos to him. Kudos to Cody. You know, Cody did his job. He looked great as always. And, you know, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this week's edition of AEW Dynamite, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was a fun 2 hours. I really enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. This was fun to do as always. Appreciate you guys sticking around for the ride. Before we take off, though, guys, I got to remind you guys to make sure to subscribe to the WWE podcast on all your podcasting platforms. For you guys on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Leave us, you know, type up a review for us. Let us know what you think. You know, let us know what shows you enjoy and you know, what you guys want to hear. You know, if there's anything new that you guys want, hey, just let us know. You know, we're all easy to get a hold of. And also, guys, make sure you follow me on Twitter. I am at Run With Turtles. You guys can follow me on there. I'm easy to get a hold of. Just hit me up. You know, I'll talk wrestling, I talk gaming, talk sports. I'm a big fan of all of it. So if you guys ever want to hit me up, just do it. You know, I'll be more happy to talk to you guys. But until next week, guys, I hope you guys have a great one, and I will see you then.